Thursday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio Show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got a punt in here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
A voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. I'm Brian Sexton and the head coach will join us momentarily. It's been a busy day here at Everbank Field and in Northeast Florida. If you are just turning on the radio, if you've been glued to news or work or whatever goes throughout the course of your day, the Jaguars have made a decisive move. They have released quarterback David Garrard and gone with the two quarterbacks, Luke McCown and Blaine Gabbert. McCown will be the starter. He will be the guy on opening day and will hold that role until such point as Blaine Gabbert is ready to play. And no one really knows when that point is. On a personal note, just want to throw this one out now. If you didn't see the Rams game last week and you've got it on your DVR or you can go find it somewhere on the Internet, God knows you can find almost anything on the Internet these days, go look at the second quarter pass that McCown threw to Zach Potter. I think I described it on the radio broadcast as a beautiful throw. Jeff Loggeman showed it last night on Jaguars All Access here in Jacksonville. And from the end zone camera, it wasn't a beautiful throw. It's an amazing throw. There was a nickelback, a cornerback, a safety, and a linebacker all in the vicinity. And when the ball was thrown, Zach Potter hadn't even made his cut yet. It was a picture-perfect pass. And so when you see throws like that, it gives you confidence. And McCown, according to the coach and according to Gene Smith, had the best camp of any of the three quarterbacks. And when you start looking at a quarterback and his age and his salary number and just where you could go, and both Gene and Jack said that wasn't the mitigating factor. It probably had something to do with it. But the real factor was that he was told he needed to play better, that he needed to turn it on, and for whatever reason, he just couldn't. And it happens. Quarterback gets to his mid-30s. You know, David last year had the hamstring. He had the tendon in his thumb, I believe it was, on his passing hand. Had the back this year. At some point, it's just a transition. And I've had a lot of people tweet, and I've seen Facebook and emails and text messages and, oh, how could they do this to David? But, you know, David experienced this himself back in 2007 when he took over for Byron Leftwich. It was a little bit earlier in camp, but, you know, circumstances are what circumstances are. And so, you know, from that perspective, David understands that he had the chance to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, made a nice living at it. You know he's going to surface somewhere. The chance to be healthy, the chance to be a good, solid backup somewhere, you know, I mean, David can play a while. So the Jaguars go forward from this point now with Luke McCown and Blaine Gabbert as their two quarterbacks. And as the coach gets set to sit down and join us here on the program, that is where we work from. And I mentioned the throw that he made to Zach Potter. And so as the coach puts on the headset, we'll say a good evening. Been a busy day for you here, obviously.
Good evening. Good evening, yes.
So what did you see in Luke McCown over the preseason that gave you the confidence to put the ball in his hands? And I was just sharing with someone that he made a beautiful throw to Zach Potter in the game. And it was throws like that, I think, that from the outside made it seem like a logical decision for you, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, Luke had the best camp of all our quarterbacks. And so, you know, we basically kind of wrestled through this thing, you know, hoping that David would come on and come back to life and play closer to like he has in the past for us. And it just never really came together for him. As far as for Luke, he had an outstanding camp. I mean, he did a nice job directing our team in practice and in the games, you know, wherever he was given an opportunity, he's done a nice job. I think he's earned the respect of the locker room. I think his work ethic is second to none. And you know, he just earned it. I mean, he earned this opportunity. So he's not being given anything. This is something he's worked hard to come back. He overcame an injury from last year, and he's come back and had a heck of a camp and won this opportunity.
You know, the only thing, Coach, and I've seen a lot of tweets and text messages and Facebook and Internet stuff, you know, in the hours since. I haven't seen a lot of people question the football wisdom of it, only the timing of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the timing. I mean, the timing is, there's never a good time, okay? I mean, timing is, you know, certainly, that could be questioned.
Sure.
and I understand that. But the reality is, at the end of the day, as a football guy, you've got to make a football decision. And as far as the PR and how that's handled, that's somebody else's job. My job's to make decisions for this football team, get this football team ready to roll.
You know, people are asking, you know, how did David take it? And David sent a tweet out within the last hour, and he was very gracious and thanked the Jaguars fans. It's what we'd expect from David. My question to you is, how did Luke McCown respond to the fact that that he is now the starting quarterback for your football team?
Well, he was a spiritual guy. He thanked God for you know, this opportunity. Obviously, he's fired up for it. So he was excited. You know, said, hey, these are answered prayers. I've been working hard. I've been praying about this. You know, good kid that he's fired up.
I mean, from a football family. I mean, he's got brothers that have played in this league. He's from Jacksonville, Texas, for goodness sake. So there's certainly a fit there. And, you know, Coach, when you look at one more perspective on it now, he's an important factor for you because he's the guy who's going to help you win football games first and foremost, because that's why he's your starter. But he's also going to be the guy who vicariously helps you prepare your future quarterback in that meeting room and with the way that he prepares.
Well, and his preparation is second to none, and that's one of the, you know, one of the reasons that we brought him back here is because of the way he prepares. Tremendous worker and sharp guy. And so there's no question that the positive examples that that Blaine can have around him are very meaningful. I think, you know, for Blaine, it's about continuing to work on his own trade, but certainly anything you can soak up from other guys you work with is a benefit.
Final thought on this before we take a break and get into the meat of the show, and that is you've got a team full of guys that I would describe as pros. And I've seen a lot of questions, you know, how's the locker room going to be? My sense is the locker room's going to rally around the guy that's there. I mean, that's just the way that those guys are.
No, I firmly believe that. I did meet with the leadership council earlier today when the news broke, and I wanted them to hear it from me. And so they were able to hear that from me. And there's no question in my mind that they are ready to rally around Luke and support. I mean, they understand the decision's been made, and for us as a football team, going forward is what it's about, and I know they're prepared to do that.
All right, that's the big news of the day. Luke McCown, the starting quarterback for the Jaguars on Sunday when the Tennessee Titans are here. Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price, and more Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along. Hey, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Again, the news of the day, the Jaguars will start Luke McCown as their quarterback. What about this Tennessee Titans team that comes in here? It's the first time in the history of the Jaguars franchise that Jeff Fisher won't be on the other sidelines. Do you see a personality shift for this team, or does Mike Munchak, who's been there all those years, part of the Oilers, you played against Munchak. I mean, you've talked about him as being one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. That would lead me to believe it's going to be a similar personality to what we've seen all these years.
Well, I think each team takes on its own personality, team to team and coach to coach, and so we'll see. I mean, it's the Titans, a divisional rival. I know Mike's been preparing for this opportunity. I know he's eager to have this chance to be a head coach, and I'm sure he'll have his guys ready. For us, it's about our preparation. It's about us, you know, getting ourselves ready and going out there and executing at a high level.
Your run defense gets a great test. You've retooled it. You've brought in linebackers and safeties and defensive linemen, and it gets Chris Johnson this week. And Mike Munchak has said there are no limitations on his carries, despite the fact that he just reported late last week to their organization. Expect to see the healthy dose of Chris Johnson? Or you think they'll be cautious?
I'm sure they'd like to give us a healthy dose. I mean, part of that is them possessing the ball and converting third downs and being able to continue to run him. So it's our job to not allow that. And, no, he's a fine football player. There was never any question in my mind that he'd be there and be done, signed, sealed, and delivered for the opener. So we know we're going to get him. There is a stiff test there. And look, Hasselbeck's a good quarterback. He's a good veteran quarterback, knows where he wants to go with the ball. So we're going to face challenges all year. And each team has its own set of challenges. And you can certainly start with those two guys when you're talking about this Titan football team.
You know, other than one 35-yard run with 2 minutes left to play in the game, you know, pretty much sealed last year, you guys did a nice job of controlling him. What's the key to playing a guy like a Chris Johnson? Is it staying in your lanes? Is it watching the cutback? How do you keep a guy from making a highlight reel touchdown like that against you?
Leverage and tackle. Those are two
I've
things.
Heard those words before from
if you,
you
want to be any good in run defense, you're going to do it. It's pretty simple. You shed blocks, you leverage, and you tackle. And you've got to do those things effectively if you're going to be good.
When you say leverage, I'm not sure a lot of our listeners would know what you're leveraging.
Oh, that's a great thing to bring up. What is leverage? Well, if you're a defensive, if you have a defensive secondary that's, let's say you're playing cover two, all right, your
which
corner,
is two safeties deep.
Corner's going to leverage the flat. Your safety's going to fill inside out from top down. They're filling their half of the field. Now, if you're playing a third, your corner would be outside in his third. The free safety is going to run down the middle, and the other corner is going to be backside overlapping. So, and there's a force player in there, a fill player in there, a plug player in there, all those things. So the bottom line is everybody has responsibilities, and when you leverage it properly, that means that the guys that are supposed to be forcing are forcing, the guys that are supposed to be spilling are spilling, the guys that are supposed to be overlapping are overlapping, and
yeah.
It all ties
we
together.
We need a whiteboard so you can draw it out. But basically what you're saying is everybody has to do their job.
Yeah, and then you get booms and pows and those types of things like John Madden describes.
Jackhammers for the Jack Del Rio television show. 355 NFL1, Titans and Jaguars, 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, which means for those of you in Jacksonville, we start the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock. The network comes around at noon for the Sudeth pregame show, whistle-to-whistle coverage in the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. So let's grab a couple of questions here, and we'll start with Bill on the south side for the head coach. Bill, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good evening, Bill.
How you doing? Listen, I'm real excited over this quarterback change. I think it's going to be an exciting season. I just wanted to ask you whether you didn't think maybe you ought to give that tractor another phone call. What do you think?
Todd Bauman.
That's not part of the equation right now. Todd's been a guy when we've needed to go to him. We've certainly done that, and he is a good man, and he's a bright guy, and that's why he's been able to come in and pick up in a short amount of time, pick up things and be able to play for us. So, no, but right now our designs are to go in with two, and obviously we'll always, Gene does a great job of kind of scouring the wire and those available players at different positions, and if he feels there's a guy out there that can help our football team, I know he'll bring him in.
Can you keep a guy on retainer like an attorney? And he goes back and he coaches football and rides that tractor, and just in case the phone rings.
You never know.
Appreciate the phone call, Bill. Let's grab Billy, who's in Green Cove. Billy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
Hey, Billy. Good.
Hey, good. Just had a couple of questions here. Actually, first of all, I just wanted to say that, I mean, I'm excited with the overhaul in the defense. I'm really looking forward to a hard-hitting year from the defense. And I have to say I'm kind of bummed with the Grard thing. I mean, he's been through – you know, a lot of overhaul on the offensive line, really no big-name receiver to throw to. Kind of hated seeing us losing Mike Sims-Walker as well. But, I mean, you guys are there with the players on a day-to-day basis, and you know what you're looking for. But with the waiver wire, I mean, is there any potential talent, you know, free agent wide receivers now with that extra money that you could see us kind of scouring to see if we can bring in to help the wide receiving core?
Sure. Thanks, Billy, for the call. Appreciate it. A couple things. First of all, you know, it's always hard to see somebody that's done something for you at a high level, you know, go, you know, and so when you're talking about David, you're talking about Mike Sims-Walker, those are guys that we enjoyed some nice years with here. And so those are always difficult things. There's always emotion involved because we attach with our players. Believe me, as a coach, I attach to these guys. These guys are like my sons. I mean, I grow very close with these players, and it hurts. I mean, it's not easy. It's not fun. That's a hard part of what we do. But in the end, you've got to make decisions as an organization, as a football team, and as a head coach, certainly I'm directly involved in them. And, you know, in terms of wide receivers, we feel good about our group. Do I think there's a guy that could come along? Sure, it's possible. You never know. I mean, and I know Gene does a great job with his staff of scouring the waiver wires, of looking at – you know, different opportunities that you may be able to acquire talent at different positions, including that one. And I know he'll continue to do that. So if there was somebody that we thought could upgrade us that fit the criteria that we're looking for in terms of adding people into our locker room, I know that we would jump on it. And, you know, you don't play forever. You know, guys can't play forever. And, you know, just had to make a decision today that we feel was in the best interest of the football team. And and we do that, and then we move forward and, you know, get on with our business.
Before we take a break, we've talked a lot about Mike Thomas and Jason Hill and even Cecil Shorts, the third-round pick from Mount Union, or fourth-round pick from Mount Union.
Yes.
What about Jarrett Dillard? He's a guy who came in here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's not been healthy. He's been on injured reserve both years. But if I remember the six catches he had in his rookie season, all of them were for first downs, were tough catches in the middle of the field. What do you expect from that young man this year?
Well, you know, Jarrett is a guy that had a good camp and made our football team, made our Final 53. Now, he's a guy that plays the same or a similar position to Mike Thomas and Cecil Shorts, are both capable of playing in the slot area where Jarrett really is at his best. So, you know, that is really the thing that keeps him from getting as much time as I know he would like. And that'll be something that we have to work through as an organization, as a football team, how we get guys up to fill different roles on Sundays. And so, you know, that's really one of the issues that he faces, is that, you know, he's behind a couple of guys we think are pretty good, that do some of the same things, same type of skill set.
All right, folks, we've got much more to come with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio, on a very busy day here in North Florida. You can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239, and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Rolling right along here on the Jack Del Rio Show, Brian Sexton with the head coach, Luke McCown the starting quarterback. That's the news of the day so far. Titans roll in here on Sunday. Mike Munchak, the head coach in the first year. We talked a little bit about Chris Johnson. I mean, I think everybody knows he's one of the most explosive players in the National Football League. Coach, you mentioned Matt Hasselbeck briefly, a veteran presence. They've got a young quarterback in there that they're trying to bring along as well. We saw Hasselbeck a couple of years ago, and I think he was coming back from an injury in that game out there in Seattle, and he just was so he's just so heady. He's so smart. Even when he's hurt that day or not completely healthy, he was very effective because he's got that. So that's what you're facing, is a really smart guy on Sunday.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. You know, knows the West Coast rhythm passing game. He's been a good quarterback, and he's been several times in the Pro Bowl, and a very capable guy.
So what's more important, sacks or moving him off the spot?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Can I have both, please?
Move him off the spot and then sack him a few times.
Well, what's an effective pass rush for you, Coach? I mean, what are you looking for? I mean, you guys, against Atlanta, it was very effective. You didn't actually get the sack, but
right.
I mean, you dominated the line of scrimmage against their first
team
offense.
Well, if you get effective rush over a sustained period of time, you're going to get the numbers. Right. I mean, the numbers come. So the numbers end up being reflective of, most of the time, of the ability to harass the quarterback. You know, you're going to have hits, hurries, sacks, knockdowns, all those types of things are a part of that. So if you're affecting the quarterback, he's having trouble throwing, then you're liking your pass rush.
Let's talk about your couple ends here. Let's start with Austin Lane, who had a very good camp. And I think last week against the Rams, what do you have, like 130 tackles? I mean, all I did was call his name. He was everywhere. He's a young guy who's come on. How do you see his progress? Is it up and down still? I mean, young guy, Murray State, went through the offseason this year, which would have been his first offseason, without the guidance of your strength and conditioning program, without time with your coaches on the field and OTAs. Where is he as he gets ready to start his second season?
He benefited from having the guidance of Aaron Kampman.
Well, that would be
during
a strong
that
benefit.
Period. And he took full advantage of it and came in great shape, and he's had a very good camp. So I think he's poised to have an impact for us this year.
Pass rusher, is he more of a just dominate at the line, at the point of attack kind of guy?
I think he'll give you some sneaky pass rush. I don't know that you're ever going to look at him as like you know, DeMarcus Ware or something.
Yeah, no,
but
I think
he can give you some effort and energy, and he's got long arms, and he's got a tall body. I mean, he generates some force. He plays with a good motor, and guys like that can kind of be sneaky productive for you.
How about Matt Roth? He's only been here a couple of weeks. Where's he?
Matt Roth is more of a bull, kind of a stout guy. It's going to, you know, really shock people at the point of attack. He'll compress the pocket. He'll collapse the pocket some. I think, you know, Matt Roth's a good football player. They're different styles, but they're both playing defensive end for us, but they'll bring different factors to the ballgame.
A lot of attention was paid to Maurice Jones-Drew and his return last week. How about Aaron Kampman and the snaps that he took against the Rams? What'd you see?
Yeah, it was good to have him back. I mean, I think getting both of those guys, the biggest thing was to get them out of, you know, guarded reps in practice and get them out into live reps. So I think, you know, both guys were able to do that and make it through the game without any issues, and And so from that standpoint, we're staying on track.
And here's the X factor to it all. What is their life like rushing from the outside when you've got a Tyson Alualu and a Terrence Knighton inside? If they're playing as well as they did against the Falcons, how much, I don't want to say easier because it's never easy to rush the passer in this league, how much more effective are all of your pass rushers?
Well, I mean, that, you know, that push up the middle really makes it all go. And that's why you invest in guys like Tyson and Terrence, which we have. And you get that kind of push up inside the pocket, it's hard for the quarterback to step up and avoid those defensive ends that are coming off the edge. So I think it all goes hand in hand along with coverage in the back end. But from a front standpoint, you know, being solid up the middle always is a great place to start.
Sure seems like you've got the ability to just bring guys in waves. You know, I left Jeremy Mincy off. I shouldn't have. You know, Jeremy Mincy's a guy who got
probably,
the start last
probably
week
of all the Rams. Defensive ends, he's had our best the best camp. He's had the most productive preseason.
Well, and all you saw was 94 against the Falcons that night. I mean, he's a guy who just he's been on and off your roster for a couple of years as he has evolved into a player. And now, with the addition of a Matt Roth, you've got a guy that you can put in the game, and he can be really effective.
Well, we've got a young man, not as young anymore, that's been interning with us, a former Jaguar, in Paul Spicer.
Right.
And Paul,
he'll appreciate the youth.
Paul, he's a young coach. He's a young aspiring coach. But he's doing a good job interning with us and helping us out with the D-line a little bit. And he understands, and he's talked about, you know, the growth factor, you know, that we have some young players that are growing and improving. And a guy like Mincy that's bounced around a little and in and on and off the roster and IR and this and that, and he's now all of a sudden he's really ready to kind of pop out there on the scene and make some plays for us. And, you know, a guy like that is hungry as they come. And you know, relentlessness is what he's all about, and bringing that relentless motor and getting after the quarterback and being disruptive. And that's what he brings to the table.
All right, folks, the phone number, as always, 1-800-355-NFL1. 355-NFL1 if you are listening here in the Jacksonville area. It's the Jack Del Rio Show live from Everbank Field on a Tuesday night before the Jaguars home opener against the Tennessee Titans. And we've got more to come after this quick timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show. 800-355-NFL1 if you'd like to join us. Phone lines starting to light up as people are putting their arms around the idea of Luke McCown being the starting quarterback on Sunday here against the Tennessee Titans. Jerry Gray's the new defensive coordinator, coach, and he spent some time on Jeff Fisher's staff there. Again, like Monk Munchak, do you expect this to be a defense that is similar in philosophy? I mean, they've got some new people up front. Jason Babin is gone. He's in Philadelphia. What was the name of the other pass rusher last year? The kid, Dave Ball, who had a pretty big season. I mean, it looks like they've maneuvered, and William Hayes is on the outside now. They've got Sean Smith outside or inside from Kansas City, and Jason Jones, who was a tackle, is now playing outside. How do you see this defense from the first glance?
Yeah, well, you know, with Jerry Gray, who, just to tell you a little story about Jerry Gray, we came out together in college, okay? So I have a University of Texas Jerry Gray helmet. And yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. And I think he probably, I don't know if he still has it or not, but he's got a USC Trojan helmet somewhere, you know, so I've known Jerry a long time, and I know that Jerry has studied under, you know, a couple of good people, you know, Jeff obviously, but Greg Williams, you know, and then recently in Washington, you know, he had some good time up there as well. So Jerry's very capable. He'll do a good job. They've got some pressure things that they like that are just a little bit different from things they've done before, and you know, I mean, he'll bring his own style, his own imprint to some of the defenses that he's been involved in, but, you know, there's a tree that he's kind of fallen from that,
right.
That you know, there are certain things that he's going to definitely want to bring.
They got some good cornerbacks, though. I mean, Cortland Finnegan and then Jason McCourty. Obviously, everyone knows his brother up in New England, but they've got some guys, especially in Hope and Griffin in the middle of their secondary, that will make it a challenge for Luke.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they are very aggressive in that sense.
Yeah, no question. No, it's a divisional matchup. You know, divisional team, start the year. You know, Bruce Matthews takes over as O-line coach now.
Yeah, now you're talking about two guys that played together.
Yeah, and of course, Bruce, you know, obviously former teammate at Southern Cal, played with Bruce there, and he's been, you know, great, longtime, great NFL player and now coach, and he's been down there in Houston. So I think some of the zone running that they've done down there in Houston that Tennessee's always been, a big proponent of, I think you'll just continue to see some of that.
Grab a couple of phone calls here in this segment. We'll start with Tony up on the north side. Hello, Tony. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Coach Del Rio. I know it was hard for him to make that decision on Gerard, but I know it's a business, and he haven't been playing that well, no way. But anyway, Coach, I wanted to know, what are your plans for the Red Zone? Because the Jaguars can never perform at the level I know they're capable of doing when they get in that Red Zone. What do you got playing with this new quarterback?
Okay, Tony, appreciate the call. You know, actually, if you look at our numbers last year in the Red Zone, if you were to look up our efficiency in the Red Zone, we were actually in the top, I would say the top third of the league. I mean, we were actually ranked pretty high in terms of efficiency of scoring once we got in the Red Zone. So we're going to build on that. I mean, we've got a big tight end in Mercedes Lewis. That's a real threat. Obviously, we've got a great back that if you don't load the box, it's going to be hard to stop him from running in. If you load the box, it's going to be hard to get double coverage on a guy like Mercedes. And that's before we even talk about receivers. So I think, you know, those two guys are going to be very prominent for us in the Red Zone. And so, you know, that we will continue to do some of the things that we have done effectively and try and do them just a little bit better.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Jay in Ponte Vedra next. Jay, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Coach Del Rio, it is a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Respect what you've done up this far, and I know it had to be, like I said, a very difficult decision. Anytime you have your quarterback or a well-recognized name on the team that is no longer with us. But once again, I think it's on the positive because what it does is brings new optimism, it brings new vision, and at the same time, you cannot always do what you've always done. And if you continue to do that, you more than likely have the same result. So I think it's a positive move. I applaud you on your efforts. And let's see what the future holds. And like I said, it does give us something to look forward to. New season, a new beginning. And we're just going to make the best of it and enjoy every game just like we always have.
Well, I appreciate the call, Jay.
Sounds like a very well-adjusted fan.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate the call. And you're right. It does create some new opportunity, and I think for us, what we're doing is as a football team is, you know, if you look throughout our roster, you know, we've made it competitive everywhere, and I really do. It's not just lip service. I really do seek to play the best players or the players that are playing the best, and so, you know, that's the National Football League. I mean, it's the best of the best, and. And so if your game starts to slide, you know, and there are other talented people around you, you know, this kind of thing can occur. So
not for long league thing.
Well, I mean, it can't. I mean, you're not going to play forever.
Sure.
I mean, you know, nobody does. So, you know, everybody at some point gets a little bit older, and you're always being challenged. And so certainly, you know, when you select a quarterback in the first round, you saw something you really liked in that kid, and then when he comes in and he does well, that's great. And Luke has a great camp, and next thing you know, we have a situation that we're now experiencing.
Appreciate the phone call, Jay. We need a break. More to come with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio. Full boat of phone calls here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Let's go to Orlando, where Samer is next. Hello, Samer.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank
you for your time, Coach. I have two real quick questions. The first one might be slightly unintelligent, but, I mean, I understand why you had to make the decision on David. But is there no way we could get an added value out of him, maybe trading him to Seattle or the 49ers? And then the other question I have is, I understand Rashard Jennings got hurt. What are our plans at running back this year? I mean, I love Maurice Jones-Drew and Deji, but we saw Brock as well as Montel Owens in the preseason.
That's right. Yeah, you did. And so two different points. Let me start with the running back. You know, Deji is the first back in. I mean, you will see Deji. I mean, he's very explosive. And then Brock and Montel both were halfbacks. I mean, they came here as halfbacks. I mean, they've become blocking fullbacks because we valued them as football players to keep them in a role when we were loaded with halfbacks. But their training is they were halfbacks. I mean, that's what they were. So they both have hands. They both can run. They both are good football players. So we feel like our backfield, one thing we feel excellent, you know, in excellent shape in is as our backs. Our backfield is strong. So as far as David and trading, I can just tell you that, you know, Gene Smith's as thorough as any general manager out there. And anytime you take a player in the first round, you're going to field calls. So, I would think that that just goes without saying. And obviously there wasn't anything at any point that was anything we were going to do, or Gene would have done it. So, you know, in terms of that, I mean, we're trying to be as strong as we can, make decisions for our football team. And so, you know, I think you have to respect the fact that if anything was done at any point, certainly, you know, this team's not going to give details. And
sure.
You know, nothing ever happened, so.
Well, you're not going to see that.
It's fair to ask. I mean, it's fair to ask, sure. But I think you got to, you know, give the process credit, understand Gene is working the process, and understand that that's something that would be natural to occur earlier than at this late juncture here.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Johnny's on the west side of Jacksonville. Johnny, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Coach?
Good. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, my question is, regardless of the situation with David Garrard, is there a plan in place to get Blaine Gabbert in rotation during the season?
Well, the plan right now, Johnny, is to let Blaine earn his way. You know, he's a talented young player. He got a lot of time in the preseason. He was not here in May and June. Nobody was. You know, we were locked out. Yeah. So we did not get that time to develop him. So he has been with us now 5 weeks. He does have a pretty solid grasp in those 5 weeks. There's quite a bit that he's picked up. He is a sharp kid. He is talented. So do we have plans to develop him? Absolutely. We will continue those plans. And we spent the preseason working very hard to get him time, get him exposure, give him opportunities, and he took advantage of those and had really nice growth.
Just, I've been meaning to ask you this question. Blaine was here the Sunday after he was drafted when the window was open for players to be here.
Sure.
He got his playbook, right?
Yes.
How much can a quarterback do with his playbook without his teammates and coaches and the film rooms and things? Could he get, I don't want to say ahead, but could he get a lot of work done over the summer with the playbook by himself?
Well, he did some of the things that you can do with a book. It'd be like a teacher giving you a book, you know, before the summer, and you know what book you're going to have, and then right. You can read ahead, and there's only so far you can go without the teacher applying the lessons and all those types of things. So ultimately, you want time on task. You want time with your teammates. You want the timing with the receivers. You want the feel of being in the pocket and doing the things that you got to do. So all of those things, we're actually making progress, you know, in those areas. We've worked hard in those areas, and we've had a very productive 5 weeks. It's just been 5 weeks.
Sure. Well, so let me quote you then. Don't get ahead of the story on Gabbert. Let it evolve. Let it play.
Yeah, just let him earn his way. I mean, you know, he's a good player. He's going to be a good player. He's a good player now, but he's going to be someday a guy that's going to be able to start here and be this franchise's quarterback. But he's got to earn his way.
All right, folks, we take a break and return. More to come with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Business insurance. It's not just about the bricks and mortar and inventory. It's about the people who rely on the business, the customers, the employees, and you. As an independent agent, we can tailor a program that's just right for you. Invest in safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better.
Bud Light Lime, with a splash of 100% natural lime flavor. It's the great taste of Bud Light with a twist. When you want a twist from the everyday. Like how body surfing is an interesting twist on working out. Cooking over charcoal is great. Over driftwood, even better. Bud Light Lime. With a splash of 100% natural lime flavor, it's the great taste of Bud Light with a twist. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Lime Flavored Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Xfinity presents the NFL moments we live for.
Fourth and goal. It's make or break time.
It's the line that separates the mighty from the meek.
Williams cuts it to the sideline.
And the heroes from the humble.
He dives for the pylon.
One very thin line.
And the ball just crosses the goal line. Touchdown!
These These are the moments you don't want to miss. And with Xfinity, you never will.
Sign up for the HD Premier XF Triple Play with NFL Red Zone and NFL Network included and get up to $200 back. Or ask about our other bundles starting as low as $99 a month for a year. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Brian Sexton back with the head coach. A little less than 10 minutes left in our program and some callers on the line, so we want to grab them as quickly as we can. Jeff is just around the corner from us here at Everbank over in the Talleyrand District of Jacksonville. Jeff, we welcome you to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Jeff. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, sir. And if I don't say it at the end of this call, man, good luck this season. I hope the Jags do really well.
Thank you. Thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, to me, you know, McCown was sort of an afterthought. And then on Thursday's preseason game, you came out and made him the second-string quarterback. And I didn't see that coming at all. So then when you took David out in the first quarter and you put him in there, I started watching him. And, you know, he didn't look too bad.
Right, right. No, that's right. Do you have a question? Do you have a question?
No, I just wanted to make that comment that I thought, you know, McCown looked pretty good. And, you know, I'm just hoping that he follows through with that, you know, against the Titans.
Amen to that. Yeah, no, he's I appreciate your call, Jeff. He's a good decision maker, quick decision maker. He is accurate. And, you know, he's been working hard for an opportunity like this for a long time. And so he's very hungry. And very appreciative of getting this opportunity right now and wants to make the most of it for his teammates and for himself.
And that's what you're looking for in players. Guys that want to be accountable, guys that want to make plays.
Yes.
Seems to be both.
Yes.
Good kid. 355-NFL1. Charles is on the north side of Jacksonville with a thought about this week's opponent, the Tennessee Titans. Charles, the floor is yours.
Oh, how you doing? First time caller. My question is, do you think Tennessee is going to run the ball a lot now that they got Chris Johnson back? And my second question is, who are the players on the practice squad and any other undrafted free agents making? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, Charles. Appreciate you calling. First-time caller. Love to have you join the program. So appreciate that. As far as the offense, yeah, I mean, Tennessee, now they have a new offensive coordinator and they have a new head coach. So you don't have certainties. But the offensive line coach of yesteryear is now their head coach. So you can bet they want to run the football.
Yeah, you can bet.
They've got a veteran quarterback in Hasselbeck that is a good decision maker. They've been working their screen game all summer. It's been featured in all their preseason games. So you know they want to run it. You know they want to screen it. And Hasselbeck's a good decision maker. So, you know, so he's an experienced quarterback. So, no, there are definitely some challenges that we have coming in here, and we've got to be ready to meet those challenges Sunday at 1 o'clock.
All right, folks, we need one final break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show with the Jaguars head coach on Jaguars Radio. All right, we got about 2 minutes left in the program. Coach, we have not even touched on special teams. And you've got Scobie, who last year drilled a 59-yarder, very, very strong leg. I want to talk about his new holder, Matt Turk. We know what Turk can do punting the ball because we've seen it the last couple of games. But that relationship between the snapper, the holder, and the kicker, Josh has talked about openly, is a very important one and one you got to get used to. That's a critical point to watch on Sunday for people.
That is, and we are facing an AFC Pro Bowl returner. And Mariani.
Oh, yeah, Mark Mariani.
Yeah, let's
Absolutely.
Not forget about them. So we have a Pro Bowler in Montel, a former Pro Bowler in Kasim, and we're going after a guy that's a heck of a returner for them, the AFC punt returner last year.
Nothing against Adam Polish. I liked him very much, but Turk kicks the ball so high. It seems like, Coach, that plays to Kasim Osgood's great strength of getting down the field and then turning and catching the ball.
Yeah, Pods is a different punter. Right. I mean, Pods was a lot more directional. Not as big a leg, but very quick and good hands. And Turk's got good hands. He's got a bigger leg, so the ball will be driven higher, deeper, and with a chance for guys like Montel and Kasim to show up and help us swing field position.
Thoughts on Cecil Shorts as your punt return guy? What you
yeah,
saw from
I mean,
him?
He and Mike Thomas, you know, with Mike having such a full role now as our lead receiver, we really felt like Cecil you know, would be a better option. We know that Mike can still go back there and field the ball for us, as can Mojo. You know, Mojo still talks about, hey, coach, you got to put me back there. And Rasheen. So we have some guys, Dillard. I mean, we have several guys that can go back and field the ball, but Cecil Shorts will get the first opportunities, and we like Cecil. We think he's a good football player.
Is it even worth mentioning kickoff returns this year, considering that they really weren't a factor in the preseason with the new rule change?
That is going to be different. We'll just have to adjust.
Monitor it week to
so
week.
You know what will happen, though, is you can't fall asleep.
You better not.
You better cover every doggone one.
Coach, thanks for your time this evening. I know it was a busy day for you.
Thank you. We look forward to this weekend. Come
Should
on out,
fun, folks. Get your tickets, jaguars.com. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you on Sunday.